Ready for another quality podcast?
Okay, here we go.
All thanks to Endeavour Homes, builders of quality. And for premium inclusions you can afford, search the Foundation Series by Endeavour Homes. This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello there, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Now, if you've come here for...
Stop sending them away, Pete.
I don't know how else to do this.
Can't we just warm them up? Like, ask them their star sign, have a chat, ask them how they'd like their what drinks they'd like,
yeah,
settle
sure.
them in a bit,
yep,
and then be like, "Oh, by the way,
can you piss off to another bar?"
No, you don't mean to say it like that.
Sorry,
you just do it in the Arch Barker way. You just politely ask them to leave.
No, can you politely leave and go to our bar next door where we have all of the same stuff, atmosphere, and everything, but occasionally different drinks. And then you can come back here for the other drinks.
Look, we've got too much in the show today to put in one podcast.
Exactly.
So the Arch Barker stuff's in a different podcast. Go and enjoy that. Because it was a really interesting chat with someone who was in the crowd.
Yeah.
Who told us her opinion on how the information was delivered to kick the mum with her baby out of the Arch Barker comedy gig.
Well, the important thing is she's impartial. Like, she doesn't have a vested interest in Arch. She doesn't know the lady who was kicked out. She just basically gave her eyewitness account. And it's amazing because I felt like we got things that we had yet to hear anywhere else too. Because everybody's too caught up in, Arch Barker said this, she might have been breastfeeding or not.
I think we were both pretty disturbed by what we can only describe as the mob mentality.
That's the real story here, I think.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
So go and check that out on the other podcast, but then come back to this bar because, you know, we've got plenty going on in here.
Yeah. The weirdest place you've done your taxes is here.
Yeah.
Done your taxes.
Some people did their taxes in places that I thought were genuinely interesting. Others, no more impressive than Kings Park for me.
Yeah. Really? What about the one who was standing up? I won't give away too much.
That was funny.
That was good. Look, you will get a bit of Arch Barker here. But you
would you say you get a bit of Argy Bargy?
An Argy Bargy. Yeah, Argy Barky. Here, because you're going to hear us dissect like the various bits of it. Like, he's done interviews. The lady who got kicked out has done interviews. And also, we opened the phone lines on this topic just to see what the general feeling of everybody is like as well. So you'll hear those phone calls.
Apparently, people don't want babies at comedy gigs. We play You're Kidding Me. Does Pete get himself back on the board?
Oh, God.
It's a game you can play along with as well. We chat with our Hollywood insider who gave us even more stories about his time living in LA, having a bit of a road altercation with Nicolas Cage.
Yep, and we also found out he's got a black book of phone numbers, and one of those phone numbers still works.
He gives us Amy Schumer's phone number,
and
we call her without notice.
Oh, it's fantastic. Cannot believe what happened this
And we play Yay or Nay with Rami, and you guys made me a bit sad today.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Why?
The birthday card thing.
That's why we're getting all those text messages from people.
I got a lot of texts from people saying that birthday cards are really important and they really matter. And it's like when your parents were like, you know, always open the card first. Don't just go straight for the gift.
Yeah.
Because cards matter.
Yeah, okay.
If you've got a partner in your life who you don't feel like is in a good place, or that you just feel like you're a bit falling out of love or whatever. You know when you just need, your spidey senses are off.
Yeah.
Write them a nice card.
Or get them a JB Hi-Fi gift card.
No, don't.
Worth 50 bucks at
least. You
need
to tell them how you feel.
Yeah, you can. There's enough space to write next to the $50 that, like, I really like you. Like, you know, there's plenty of space there.
I like you this much. I liked you enough for 40 bucks, but they didn't do it in that denomination. So here's a fitty.
It's Pete and Kimber's Hollywood Insider.
Hollywood Insider. We found a Perth actor who lived in Hollywood for about 3 years and was partying with some of the biggest A-listers in the world. Brad Pitt, Al Pacino, you name it, they were there. And so we've been getting all the gossip of things that have happened behind the scenes in this dude's life. And in this episode, he tells us about a little altercation he had with Nicolas Cage.
Let's get straight to it. I once street raced Nicolas Cage to reach a parking spot.
Yeah. What was interesting is I didn't know it was Nicolas Cage at that point until the end. So essentially, I was driving around in my very 90s, very dated little sort of half sporty, pretty average car. And there was a sort of yellowy kind of, I'm not good cars, Ferrari, Porsche, something very fancy that was next to me. And on the Sunset Strip at the top of Sunset Boulevard, this was the 90s. Everyone still used cash a lot. So there was one ATM that had one parking spot in front of it. Otherwise, you had to drive around through into a car park, get a space, and then walk around to get to the same ATM. And it became obvious the guy in this yellow car was trying to get to that parking spot as I was. So it became this sort of, I don't think it was particularly serious, but this kind of half race weaving in and out down the street a little bit as we both revved it. He made it, of course, took the parking spot. So I went and parked. Then I got to the ATM and realized it was Nicolas Cage, which was interesting because I, at the time, was friends with Nicolas Cage's stunt double. So I mentioned his name, and so we had a nice little chat about how I should have had him drive my car and all the rest of it. And that was my Nicolas Cage street race story.
Tell us about the game of Bum Pinch with Liz Hurley.
Okay, so that was at the Elton John party. So what happened at some point, everyone's a little bit drunk, obviously. I turned round and sort of banged into someone and my hand smacked their bum. And it just became this thing. I accidentally went, I'm so sorry. I turned around and it was Liz Hurley. And her response to that was to make a joke of it and then smack my bum really hard. And then it just became this
really
sort of little...
Really hard, you say?
Well, harder than I had smacked hers by mistake.
Oh, really?
She went, that's fine. Smack. Mm-hmm. And then somehow it became this thing for the rest of that party that we walked past each other, we would smack each other or pinch each other on the bum. And so it just became this random thing. But then the next year, same thing again. Liz Hurley and I recognised each other and a little game of bum pinch happened a second time.
Wow.
Very weird. But there was a point, there was literally a point where Liz Hurley had slapped my bum and right as that happened, Courtney Love tripped over in front of us. So that's what I mean. Like, it's just the environment you're in is just everybody there is a name of something.
I once gave acting advice to Al Pacino. And yep. He asked for it. Al Pacino?
Yeah.
The Godfather.
I was on a set of a film, basically, Simone. So it's a film, or Sim 1. It's basically an old film. A lot of people don't know it. It's really relevant to this to nowadays. It's about essentially an AI actor that is passed off as a real actor in the industry, as if it's a real person, but it's a fake human being. Mm-hmm. He's a director in the movie. I was working on that film in production. I wasn't even acting in it. So I was on a set one morning and there was no one else around. I was literally just moving some stuff around, cables and stuff, setting up coffee. Al Pacino was in there just walking around in the room with a coffee, doing bits of his scene that he was shooting later on that day. And then for no good reason, just sat down next to me and started asking me how he should have done the scene. Or was this better than this? Was this, do you think it worked better this time or this time? And I was like, what? Do you know you're Al Pacino? Yeah. Like whatever you do is going to work fine. What are you talking about? And was literally asking for genuine feedback about what he was doing, which I was blown away by. At the time, I looked like I was in a 90s rock band that had failed.
I mean, if you spend that much time there, are people quite elusive or do you have famous people in your phone? Like who would be the most famous person in your phone?
Again, this is probably because I haven't updated my phone in about 20 years. Well, Jerry Hall's phone number's in there. I have.
Can we call her?
I did actually... I absolutely no. Almost everybody probably has different phone numbers now because they would.
Yeah.
Why would they? Dan Harmon, who created Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep, yep.
And for some weird reason, I've got Amy Schumer's phone number in my phone, which I was given a long time ago, and I never even met Amy Schumer.
Can we call her?
We can try.
Can we try calling her? Would you like? Legit?
Do you know how bad that would be? It's going to be either cut off or they go, "Who the hell is this?"
That's fine. You don't say a thing. I'll just put her in the. I'll put the number in. Nobody will know. It could have come from anywhere. And after lots and lots and lots and lots of convincing, we got Amy Schumer's mobile number.
I'm too scared to call it though.
Why? Why are you scared?
Because it feels like, you know, if someone gives you the number, we don't have anything to say to her to be like, oh, hey, we got your number from. Well, we can't.
No. I've got an idea. I've got a plan. All right, so just stick with me. We're going to call the number next and find out if she picks up the other end. We were just chatting with our Hollywood insider.
Now, we've stumbled across this guy. He's a Perth actor, but he was living in LA for about 3 years and was socializing with the big Hollywood A-listers. So we've been hearing a lot of stories about them behind the scenes.
Now, moments ago, we also just found out that he's got a little black book of mobile phone numbers of these Hollywood A-listers as well. And he mentioned Amy Schumer, as in movie Trainwreck, Amy Schumer, world famous comedian, Amy Schumer, as in this Amy Schumer.
I don't fit in here. Like, in L.A., my arms register as legs. Why is that octopus on Sunset? Is that... It's not for me out here.
No?
It's not.
So when we spoke to our Hollywood insider, he mentioned that he has a whole heap of Hollywood names in his phone, and one of them in particular that he spoke about was Amy Schumer.
Yeah. Now, he felt that all the numbers in the phone were really old. He was like, they're from a long time ago, so they're probably not relevant. And he wasn't keen to call them straight away.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Well, I felt that. I felt that from him because I wanted to push. And here's the honest thing, right? While we were recording Hollywood Insider, we had our boss Speedy and the producers out in the airlock. And I was getting the buzz in my ear from Speedy going, call her. Call her now.
Yeah.
Call her now. And I could tell the Hollywood insider didn't want to go there.
No.
Which is fair.
Because also, how are we going to explain how we got her number and stuff? So the thing is that after he left, he trusted us with the number.
Mm.
So we have the, now this could, it may not connect because it could be really old, but I feel really nervous because if Amy Schumer does answer, I don't want to sort of go, hey, it's Pete and Kimber at Mix 94.5. How are you going? And chat no. Because this is her personal mobile and she'll probably go, how have you got my number?
Mm.
What's going on? And I would be annoyed if someone called me.
Well, yeah. And I don't want to come across as one of those like harassing radio types. Well, I'm surprised he gave you the number.
I know. Like this time of the morning, he sort of said, here's the number, but it will self-destruct in 5 minutes, you know? Why am I sort of hoping for an answering machine?
I'm a bit freaking out as well, to be honest with you.
Because it feels naughty.
Because
we know we're
naughty.
Not doing the right thing.
All right. Okay, here we go. Okay. So 0011 is the exit Australia code.
Yeah.
I'm putting in her number now.
Okay.
Hi, it's Amy. I won't be able to answer voicemail messages, so please text me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's
her. Did you hang up?
No, it hung up by itself. So what does that mean? So
It's her number.
It hasn't.
That was Amy.
I'm going to call it again.
No, don't.
No, I'll call it one more time. One more time. Just one more time.
Hi, it's Amy. I won't be able to answer voicemail messages, so please text me.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. It's actually Amy Schumer's phone number.
I'm going to text her.
Don't!
Love
this game. How does the game work?
Well, first we go, producer Carrot's here. I believe in
miracles. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Did you get his text message as well, where he walked into a shop and this song was playing the other day?
This music plays every time you enter a room, doesn't it?
It was so funny. I literally walked into this op shop and the radio was on and this song literally started as soon as I walked in, and then I bought this shirt. So yeah.
It's because this song encompasses you. It's who you are.
Thank you, Kimber. That's very sweet of you.
That's a nice shirt too, by the way.
Thank you, Pete. I'm glad you appreciate it. I kind of look like Woody from Toy Story, but
you
that's
do.
Okay. moving on, if you're kidding me, is a game where I'm like a montage of events that have happened in a particular year, and you guys need to try and guess what the year is. Pete, you are currently 4 points behind Kimber. It's 6-10.
The big comeback, baby. This is it.
Well, you won last week. The big comeback could be on. Let's go to the first year. Papa, don't I'm in
Papa, don't Bueller.
Damn it.
Bueller.
This is a Kimber one.
He's sick.
Cleveland has now broken the Guinness Book of World Records and released over 1,500,000 balloons.
Wow.
The footage for that is
insane. Who knew the Cleveland balloons thing was a thing?
I know.
Wow. This is the first time I've heard of the Cleveland balloons
thing. Me too.
Oh, you guys have never seen it before?
No.
So basically they tried to release the most amount of balloons possible, but it ended up being an absolute nightmare, and there was plastic everywhere. There were people that died. The footage is insane.
That is why none of us can drink from straws anymore.
Absolutely, Kimbo. Started back in what year was that? Okay.
What did you go, Pete?
I went 86.
Yeah, I went 84.
I
might have gone a bit early on Ferris Bueller there.
This is yours. I feel like this is yours. It's a Ferris Bueller thing. That's your quote.
Papa, don't preach. I thought it was early though.
One of you has it right, and it's Pete. It was 1986. Nice. Very well done.
Hey, let's go
to the second one.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Rolling over the sands, you can see spice in the air. The outsiders ravage our lands in front of our eyes.
No, Dune didn't come out that long ago.
What year was it? That was June.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
I don't know. You tell me, Pete, did it?
Aren't we already up to the second Dune?
We are up to the second Dune.
Just been released.
I'm going to go 2020.
Ooh, Kimber?
2021.
We're going to a tiebreaker, baby. It was 2021.
Oh,
yeah, where we got on one.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Great film.
Great movie. Oh. What
about me? It's my boy. Had enough now. I want my share.
All of that ugly, stacked up vision of me with the croc looking like I'm endangering my child will be put to bed very quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, that was what
that
a big year.
That is a mixed bag there.
It is a mixed year.
It's a mixed bag.
Enough of the mixed bag.
Look,
give me a year.
I don't know. I'm going in with that.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was the beginning of the millennium for Oz Idol or I just finished school. So I'm going to go with just finished school and give you 2003.
Ooh, I said 2002.
See, I kind of feel like it almost could be 2001 because it's Shannon Knoll and What About Me
Steve
and Australian
Irwin
Idol.
Definitely. Oh, no. Oh, I don't know, actually.
What was the first one again?
The first one was Dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
Great movie.
Duck, dodge, dip, dive, and dodge.
Well, Pete.
Yeah?
The comeback is on, baby. It was 2004. Pete, it is you 7 points to Kimber's 10. You now trail by 3 points.
Just look in that rear vision mirror, Kimber. I'm a bit closer.
Yeah, it's all right. It's still a bit of a buffer, isn't it?
Just a little bit, mate.
It's all right. Not scared yet.
Isn't the nation divided over this Arj Barker versus Trish Faranda, the mum who he reportedly kicked out of his comedy show in the last couple of days?
Well, this blew up very fast. It was one of these things like, you know, he did a gig on the weekend. By yesterday, it was everywhere. But I don't think the reports were entirely true. Like when the first report came out, it said, mum said she was kicked out of his comedy gig for breastfeeding her baby.
Mm.
And people went berserk.
Yeah, of course. And you can understand that.
What's wrong with breastfeeding? But there might be more to it than that.
Yeah, so since then, we've learnt a lot more information. There are reports coming in that he didn't kick her out because she was breastfeeding, that he actually went on to explain that, in fact, the baby was making a lot of noise and that he felt that for the rhythm of the show and for people in the show to enjoy his jokes, it was best if she leaves. In fact, he was on 3AW over in Melbourne, which is a talkback radio station, explaining what had happened in his own words.
But then the baby continued to occasionally make noise. Now, it wasn't crying or screaming, and I never said that. It was doing that kind of cute thing babies do. They go, rally, la, la, kind of talking. It doesn't take much to distract an audience, you know, when they're watching a show. And so I made this decision, but it was, you know, it wasn't easy because I knew it was really awkward for me, to be honest. But I said, I'm really sorry, but the baby can't stay. And look, I'll be honest, there's a couple important things that I would want to stress. I made the decision for not for myself, for the audience.
So that's Arj Barker on Talkback Radio Station 3AW in Melbourne yesterday explaining his position.
Yeah, he's like, it wasn't about the breastfeeding, it's because the kid was making noise.
Now, Trish Ferranda, who's the mum, who was in the audience that got kicked out or pleasantly asked to leave, according to Arj, was doing the media rounds yesterday as well. This is her on A Current Affair last night.
You kind of lose yourself a little bit in motherhood, and you don't really get out that much, to be honest.
What actually happened? What did Arj do?
She started gurgling, babbling, probably what, similar to what you've heard, but not for very long, because then I just gave her a quick feed, and she was quiet. And Arj noticed her, and he sort of made some jokes. He sort of said, oh, I speak, baby, and it said, take me outside. And then he repeated that, and everybody was laughing. So everybody's like, oh, he's funny, that's funny. And I was kind of like, oh, I'm not quite sure if he's joking about that last bit.
So was she sort of making noises like she is now?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I agree with Trisha. Like, those things, you know, being a mum, you lose yourself. I saw my wife go through it 3 times with the kids.
Oh, I know lots of people who, when you become a mum, it becomes their entire identity. Mm. And then they forget to go out anywhere or do anything outside of that. And so I can understand that she wants a night out and she wants to go to the comedy.
Yeah. But I kind of felt like she was reinforcing that identity last night by bringing her bub onto A Current Affair. And she did it again on the project.
Thought it'd be really nice to do something that I hadn't done in a while. And just sort of get back to sort of a pre-baby me. She's super cranky right now.
Okay, maybe she can go to dad just for a quick second. But like, you know, a mum with three little kids, I reckon you need a laugh.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, guys.
I mean, it was disrupting.
It was. And I kind of feel like it was grandstanding. Like, there was no reason why, you know, other than to really drive home the point that I'm a mum with a baby. Like, there was no reason to have the baby on the television with you while you're doing these interviews.
Well, it is, because that's her whole stance, right? Is that it makes it, I don't know, it makes it helps her double down. But what, I don't actually get what her position is. Is she saying we should all be able to go to these gigs and not be kicked out no matter how much noise we make?
This is the confusing thing.
Is that what
thing
we're getting at?
Because I don't know whether her stance was that, or whether her stance was, I am a mum and I've lost myself and I need to do anything just to get a bit of myself back. Or whether her stance is, I should be able to breastfeed in public anywhere I choose. Which I kind of feel like in 2024, we're all comfortable with that. We've had that discussion for years now. Mm. And we set the bar that if you see someone breastfeeding in public, maybe there's a few of us out there who go, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. But most of us now go, well, there's nothing wrong going on here. This is perfectly natural and normal.
I mean, if I was at that gig and I heard a baby crying, I'd be super grateful Arj said something so that I don't have to.
And I look,
because I am the person who will go, excuse me, are you kidding me? Like, we've all paid $100 to see this gig and I really don't need my experience to be affected by this.
And I can tell you, as a parent who's tried to take his kids to things, when they arc up, the reasonable thing is you get up and you leave because you're thinking about everybody else's experience. You don't double down and go, no, I'm going to stay here because I deserve this. It feels entitled to me.
Mm, I thought it was at your own risk. It's like you might have to get the family ready for an hour and then drive 40 minutes to the gig and get parking and then get in there and then your kid disrupts everything in the first 2 minutes and you all have to go home. But I thought that was just on you.
No, it is on you.
Yeah,
it is absolutely on you. And it didn't feel like that's the way this is all playing out at the moment. Now, I will say one thing sounds incredibly sad if this is the case of what happened. And that is apparently there were some people in the audience, particularly blokes, who were giving it to her and the kid on their way out when they were asked to leave. That's what I've heard about the audience.
Well, let's find out, because we're going to talk to Ellen Mahoney, because she was at the gig and she'll tell us who said what, whether it was all friendly, whether it was all cool, and whether or not the audience turned on the mum.
The Pete and Kimber podcast.
We're throwing the lines just open. And if you've got some thoughts on the Arj Barker comedy show, where we've learnt in the last 24 hours that he asked a woman who had her 7-month-old there that was being disruptive to leave, We're just throwing it open. What are your thoughts about this entire thing? Because we're hearing all sorts of different stories this morning.
Well, it sounds like a few things unfolded in the same place. Like, number one, Arj's first request wasn't direct. It wasn't a, hey, this is disruptive, can you please leave? He made jokes around the baby being a problem instead of addressing it directly. So by the time she hadn't gotten the joke and that it was meant to be a request, it had gone on a bit long.
Yeah.
But then it sounds like the crowd harassed her as she left, which sounds really inappropriate and unnecessary once it's been handled.
Well, so Ellen Marnie, we just spoke to Ellen Marnie, who's a comic herself, was at the show and gave us an impartial first-hand account of what actually went down. And you're right, in particular what she had to say about the crowd and how they handled Trish and the baby.
And it felt like we were sitting in a room, you know, we're in a room in 2024 and there's a bunch of men screaming at a woman to get out because she has a baby. Mm. And that just felt inherently wrong.
Which it is. It is absolutely inherently wrong. The baby aside, that I think we're all pretty reasonable enough in this day and age to go, made a seven-month-old making noises at a comedy gig, interrupting jokes and stuff. Probably not the right place for a baby.
The baby shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't care if you take your baby to an event as long as I don't know it's there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of parents would go, every baby's different. Some babies could sit through that and not give any problems at all.
Yep.
And as soon as most parents, I think, would recognise that if the baby was making noise or being difficult, they'd probably just get up and leave.
Mm. So, most parents.
I mean,
it doesn't sound like this was the case here, though.
No, but we don't know what you think anyway. Lara in City Beach, what are your thoughts?
Lara?
Oh, I've just lost you. Hello.
Gotcha, Lara. Go on, tell us your thoughts.
Oh, I'm just a bit over the whole story, actually, because I'm sympathetic to what happened, but it just shouldn't have happened in the first place. You know, I've got kids and there's just no way I'd be selfish enough to bring a child to a comedy gig. And there's always a possibility you're going to ruin their night. And it just could have all been avoided if she just didn't bring the child to a gig that said no children.
Yeah.
Her thing, you know, Lara, we've heard her speak on A Current Affair. She's spoken on The Project. You know, some of the things that she had to say, and I watched my wife go through this over her having our three kids as well, that, you know, she lost herself and she just wanted to feel like herself again. And the only way she could do that, because she couldn't leave the baby with anyone else, was to take the baby. And do you think that's a fair excuse?
No, I don't, because I'm sure there's plenty of other mums in that crowd that probably wanted to bring a child and they chose not to.
Mm, I agree. We got a text.
It's not just about you.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Lara.
We got a text, Pete, from our mates at Top Deck Golf, who said, because the mum said, well, I want a night out. You know, that's why I wanted to go. And Top Deck Golf said, well, you can't say I want a night out, I deserve a night out, and then take the exact thing with you that's causing you to want the night out.
I mean, that's a fair point. I'm sorry, I agree with them there. John in Two Rocks, what are your thoughts, mate?
Hi. So my thoughts are quite similar to your previous caller. I mean, the baby shouldn't have been there. I disagree that the lady was made to feel terrible, but it didn't matter whether it was a lady, a man, a baby. If there was a man there who had one too many beers and was causing a disturbance, I'm sure the comedian would have asked him to leave and the crowd would have got involved and it would have been a clap. It wouldn't have been newsworthy.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. And that's what we're saying, because the first chat that came out was that she'd been kicked out for breastfeeding, which is a whole other situation. But that turned out to not be the case. I think that's how it got traction in the first place.
Yasmin in Harrisdale, thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts over this whole saga?
Yeah, hi. I guess my question is, what time of night was it? Like, you don't go to a comedy show without having a few beers, and that doesn't justify the way the crowd may have treated her. I've heard everyone else's point of view on it. But it just doesn't seem to be the kind of place that you would take a baby. And if everyone's having a few drinks and enjoying a night out, it's almost akin to taking a baby to a club with you. Mm. You know, you just don't do it.
Well, I can tell you, Arj Barker's not getting out of bed before 5 p.m. in the Arvo. So
that's why we've never chatted to him on this show. Just can't get a hold of him. Here, let's go another one here. Dan in Stuart Hill, mate. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, basically, you know, I think Arj Barker did the right thing. You know, at the end of the day, regardless of how it was done, that's a different story. But she should have taken the baby there, because it's no different to going to see a movie the baby, it makes a noise, arcs up, you're disturbing the other people around you, and you have the right to, you know, upon yourself to leave without being asked to.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's the general sentiment, isn't it? I think what we've gathered here this morning in the last sort of 20 minutes or so from all the different people and everything is that I think most reasonable people, parents included, would be like, I ain't taking my seventh-month-old to a gig like that.
Oh, all of these reasonable people who have really reasonable outlooks on it are still the same adults that will sit next to me at a gig and talk the entire way through the show. Like, let's not forget those people exist.
Yeah, I know
so,
those people
you know,
exist.
It's that thing
yeah,
of going, yeah, like, yep. At least she had the common sense to actually leave with the baby.
Well, but the thing is, not straight away.
No.
Not straight away. It took her a bit of time. I mean, I think that's an important piece. And again, look, I'll say this. I felt like the appearances on A Current Affair and the project with the baby and the baby was disrupted through the entire interviews was a little bit of grandstanding as well.
Mm.
But the other thing to this is you just don't treat a person like the way we've heard she was treated at that gig once she got up and left.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Wrong. Occasionally we like to spin a wheel in here called the Wheel of Inappropriate Questions, Kimber.
It is a chocolate wheel with no chocolates on it. Yeah, it's just full of inappropriate questions that we have to answer.
Mm. This was one of the questions that popped up on the wheel yesterday. Where's the weirdest place you've done your taxes? Done your taxes is a bit of adult time. That's what we call it on the Pete and Kimber show.
Where is
the weirdest place?
Let's say Kings Park.
That's not weird.
Okay.
That's not weird. Do you remember the old Midland Military Market?
Yes, yeah. Only because it's where your family had their fish shop.
Yeah, I did it once in the cool room. Can you elaborate on the Kings Park stuff?
What do you mean elaborate? You all said it's not weird enough. I think it's a weird place to do your taxes.
Well, fine. Well, you just justify weird at least. Was it during a gig? Was it after
gig? It was after a Tom Jones gig. Just help yourself to my lips. I mean, it's Tom Jones. We wouldn't have been the only ones. But I don't get this, like, you know, what's the weirdest place you've done your taxes? We got a text message from someone yesterday.
Yeah.
Saying, well, look, you know, they've done it in the bathroom on a cruise ship.
See, I don't think that's weird either. It's not weird enough.
I just don't know if I've ever felt desperate enough to be like, yeah, in this filthy bathroom.
Well, would you call it desperate, though?
Maybe
the bathroom was very clean. It was a nice, clean bathroom.
Sure, but there's nothing sexy or cool about it in a bathroom or up against a toilet or in some sort of weird cubicle where everyone's... Nah.
Well, it's in particular that word weird. You know what I mean? Like we're going to ask, where's the weirdest place you've done your taxes? I'm going to bring this question to you, MixFam.
I mean, are you going to accept like most outlandish or are you just going for weird? Like is someone going to say in their parents' room?
Is that weird though?
I mean, still.
I mean, I suppose that's a type of weirdness, but you know, like
well,
a room's a room,
right? What are you thinking
is
weird?
Well, I would think that probably what I threw out there yesterday, the cool room at the fish market, the Midland Military Market, is probably the weirdest that I've heard so far.
Mm. Well, mainly because you're just not—it's not your best display, is it?
What do you mean?
In the cool room.
What do you mean? It's not your best display.
Look what I have to offer in this freezing, freezing room.
Here's some groper. Here's some snapper. Here's
some... Penny and Maylands, what's the weirdest place you did your taxes?
So when I was younger and didn't have my licence, me and my friend was dropping me off and it was at Bassendean train station sitting on his lap on the curb in public.
Thanks, Penny.
There we go. Okay. That's
I have
bad.
No other. I have no other questions.
It's not bad.
Just sitting at the train station.
I still even don't think that's all that weird. I mean, if just the two of you and the mood presents itself. Then...
At the Bassendean train station.
I don't know.
Martina in Spearwood. Where'd you do your taxes?
Hi. I did mine behind a nightclub.
Behind the nightclub?
Ah.
Yes, in an alleyway.
Okay.
Oh, the alley. What a special place that is. You've got meters away spewing in the car park. And
did you see him again, Martina?
Yes, I did. It was a 10-year booty call.
Ten years?
10-year booty call, on and off, yes.
Hmm. On and off.
Wow.
Yes. However you like to do it.
Wow.
Okay. Again, not weird, though. Not weird. I mean, a lot of people would have done it behind the Paramount back in the day.
Yeah, I know, but do you want to? Do you want to, though?
Well, sometimes.
All right, Murphy in Thornley, where do you do your taxes?
Oh, I decided I wanted to do my taxes on Australia Day and convinced a young lady that I had the best place to view the fireworks from. And we got to the location, got in there, unlocked the little padlock, and up we went to the top of my tower crane.
Oh!
Okay, now that's more like it. That's more like it.
More like it.
Do they move about?
Oh, they blow in the wind.
Good line, Murphy.
You know what I wasn't expecting to get a story from?
What?
The person I wasn't expecting?
Oh.
Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Mary doesn't sound like she's up to too much trouble, but Mary, where were you doing your taxes?
I did my taxes when I was very young, standing at a bus stop.
Who knew public transport would get so many people towing?
Yeah. Stan, you said you were doing it standing, were you?
Yes, standing at the bus stop, yes. Yeah, right. I did have a very long coat on at the time.
Just all the things you need. Got your calculator, got your pen, got your long trench coat.
Yeah. Laura, okay, come on, give us something weird. Round us off here. What have you got? Where's the weirdest place you've done your taxes?
A little bit weird. I did my taxes on the altar of a church.
Oh, Laura.
I know. I'm going to hell, I know.
Oh, my God. Now, see, this is it. Okay,
Don't worry about it, Laura.
How did that happen?
So my mum actually looked after the church, so she had the keys. And I said I'd do her a favour and look after it for her this day. So myself and my boyfriend took advantage of it and then, did our taxes on the altar.
No way.
Did mum ever find out?
I know, but you had to. No, never. No. No.
Did you rinse off in the holy water or?
It's all right, Laura.
I drank a lot of holy water after that. Put it that way.
We'll see you
I
in hell.
I bless myself every time I go.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Hi, producer Rami.
Hi, how
Rami.
Are we?
Good.
Good. I've got yay and nay here for you guys. Three topics, 3 seconds on each. Are we ready?
Yes.
First one, birthday cards are a waste of time.
3, 2, 1.
Yay. Absolutely nay.
Absolutely yay.
Thank you, Pete.
I would rather a card over a gift every time.
Well, you're done.
Oh,
seriously,
you're also easy.
Do you not care about birthday cards? They're one of the sweetest, kindest things you could give a person.
Yeah, I know, but also, right, you could save yourself $10 by just saying to the person what you want to write in the card.
Yeah, I love you, you're great, happy birthday.
And then the card ends up in the bin generally anyway.
I keep mine.
Who's, really? Yeah. You've kept 70 years worth of cards.
Not all the ones, only 70? The ones where people.
How old is she?
The ones where people value cards and write something special. I write cards so that people will keep them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awkward.
It's very awkward.
I want to call your wife right now and go, how expressive is Pete? Would you prefer to get a card from him? And I bet she says yes.
I disagree with you there.
All right, 0400 21 945.
I thought you were going to give my wife's phone number out there for a moment.
Is our text line. Tell us if you enjoy getting a card from someone you love.
I love getting a card if it's got, I don't know, like a $50 note.
Or a scratchy. Yeah, they're good ones.
Don't give me scratchy.
Anyways, second one.
I can't believe that.
Going to rallies.
3, 2, 1.
Yay,
I guess.
Really?
Depends on the rally.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. If it's something important.
I don't care about anything enough to go to a rally.
It's got to be something.
And that is the problem.
Literally, I was thinking, I was like, I wouldn't rally for anything. I'd just sit on the sidelines and wait for it to unfold.
At a time where we are losing more and more control, we still need to have the ability to have power in numbers.
Yeah. Would you rally for equal rights? Would you rally for women?
Nate doesn't need to worry about it. He's a bloke.
That's true. Would you rally for women?
Well, you are.
Would you rally
for
equal
pay? If you're unaffected, you're basically saying you're unaffected by these things and so you're not going to show up.
I don't know. This isn't about me. I was talking about the
Kimber
teachers.
If Kimber went to a rally, would you go and support Kimber at a rally? Would you rally for Kimber?
Yeah, I'd drive you there.
the reason I bring it up is because a lot of teachers are on strike today. So more than 80 schools in WA are going to be shut for half the day because teachers want 12% increase over 2 years, which we all support, of course.
They have a tough life.
But, I mean, I'm supporting them from a distance. Oh, I wouldn't be there.
You're a shocker.
No, you know what? You've supported teachers a lot by not having children. By not contributing to the problem.
You want kids to...
Eventually.
Yeah, right, okay.
Are you offering, Kimber? Good luck to you. And final one...
Oh, my God, that is such a show story. Like, Kimber has the surrogate baby for producer Rami.
Oh, my God, guys. Our boss is out there listening to this entire thing. Oh, jeez.
Final one. Facials.
Three, what? Two, one.
Facials. The facial.
I know, but I don't trust Rami, and I'm afraid to say yes.
Oh, because you're thinking of the Urban Dictionary
you're
version.
You're so dirty. Facials, like rejuvenation.
Right, yay.
Thank you.
Yay.
Why are you bringing this up?
I don't know.
I came across this piece of audio. Have you heard what Sandra Bullock does for a facial?
No.
Press play on this audio. She was doing an interview with Ellen.
Hmm.
And this is the kind of facial I could probably get involved in. Trigger warning, though, a bit of a warning.
Sorry, that's an in-joke. And maybe if you listen to our podcast later, we'll explain it.
Press play.
Well, it's this way in which one forces through microneedling, pushes through the skin.
What are you pushing into the skin?
Well, you push in whatever the facialist would like to insert into your pores.
But what is it?
It is an extraction from a piece of skin that came from a young person.
It's foreskin from a Korean baby. It's like...
I mean, what? Ellen was going where we were thinking.
Yeah, it's literally a facial made out of that piece of skin.
That's what? So weird. Yeah. That piece
Has
of skin?
Has she been cancelled for that?
Family outing. Yeah. Let's go try it.
It's got really weird and awkward.
Wow.
All of a sudden.
It's a beauty, Rachel.
Apparently, Rita on the text line loves the cards. Still got a card from her husband in 1973.
Oh, Rita.
So there you go.
Feels like that gap was too long to bring that back, and now it feels like they were connected.
Just trying to get us back onto a much more wholesome, family-friendly track.
Facials after the show.
The Foundation Series from Endeavour Homes is the affordable alternative with premium inclusions. Endeavour Homes. Builders of quality.